All right, here we go. It's a Friday. Mail it in Friday here on Overdrive, TSN 1050, online TSN1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We've got a fun one today. We've got picks. We're finally on the verge of a new weekend of NFL action. Two games tomorrow, two games on Sunday, right? We got the Raptors in action tonight. Struddy coming up in about a half an hour. Jason Strudwick from Edmonton, Alberta. So we look forward to that. It felt like a Struddy day, didn't it? It felt like it had to be a Struddy day.
Got to have Struddy on, and we'll see if he's I saw on Twitter, thought he was in Turkey. He might be on Skype through, you know.
Some guy tweeted me and said, maybe get Struddy on today. It feels like a Struddy kind of day. I said, you're damn right it's a Struddy kind of day. But he could be in Turkey.
I had someone send me a link no more than 24 hours ago via Instagram DM confirming the Turkey story. Like, I think we've had people confirm it in the past, and I think we've looked it up, and it's legit. People are flying in from all corners of the world.
No. Millions of people.
Millions. But it costs a lot of money. Lots of money.
One of my good friends, I'm not even going to say his occupation or how I like my relationship with him, because it'll give away his buddy that went. But he has a buddy that flew there and takes pics and puts them on Instagram of a salad, brand new. You would never know. Millions of people.
If you're posting a picture, though, then people will know. That's the thing. Like, it's a question that you got to ask. If you get a new salad.
No, he is not posting his salad and then underneath saying, check out my new salad.
I see.
Wow.
He knows that he went to Turkey, and then 2 weeks after he gets back, the pics are on, and it's just like.
Okay, so the guy who went there, he didn't post like a before and after. He's trying to transition into this new life without any major announcement.
Let's just say after he had the surgery, he's pretty horny to post on Insta about the salad.
Well, why lie about it? Like the Drew Brees situation, like there's no, you know, people have been picking off LeBron going, he's had something done. Like it just, you can't lie like before and after pictures. Like you don't wake up one day and go, you know what, I'm going to shave in a receding hairline.
Noodles,
and then the
felt
next
bad.
Day I got a full salad.
I felt bad. My buddy, I asked him, I said, this is ridiculous. No, I asked him, I said, would your friend be willing to come on the show to talk about a salad and the procedure and anything? He's like, he started laughing. He said, Jeff, you know, people don't like do that. Like this guy is like a regular dude. He doesn't want to go on.
We can disguise. No one knows who he is. If it's not a public figure, that's the thing. It's bold if Drew Brees and LeBron James is maybe the most recognizable person on earth. There may not be a more recognizable person on earth than LeBron. If he has an adjustment to his hair, everyone's going to pick off on that. If Gary, who works down at, you know, on Bay Street or whatever, one's going to know that. None of our audience would know it. I think you should continue to work that angle because I'm genuinely curious. I want to know someone who's been to Turkey and got the operation done.
But you're saying do a phoner so we can't see a salad? But I would rather. I mean, why not? If
so
he
we'll
really
go with
a
false
problem.
Name. You're guaranteeing.
How about this?
We'll
Skype's in from the forehead up, so all we see is the hair, and then disguise his voice if we can, and use a pseudonym. Use a different name.
Well, we don't need to disguise his voice if we're just going skull it down.
But what if he wears like on Netflix? There's a show called Money Heist. Like, what if he just wears one of those masks, but you can still see the salad?
Well, it's imperative we see the hair. Like, you got to have the hair. We have to. And we need a before picture, possibly, too, for full analysis.
Well, I've got a buddy back home that has said, my life has changed. Like, he's like Costanza. Remember Costanza walked in with the full? He's like, I was Costanza. Now I've got a full head of hair. Like, and he's like, it was the best thing I ever did. And this guy has some money. And he's like, and he's quite a recognizable face around town. He's a successful businessman. He's like, listen, I went and got a new salad. Good on, like, basically doubled down. Was like, good on me. I'm happy for it. You know, like, you go through a midlife crisis. Some guys buy a Corvette. Other guys buy a salad. That's what it is.
Well, and it sounds like Turkey is, you know, that's an Aston Martin, right? If you're going over there, you're not buying a used.
No, it's a Lamborghini.
Yeah,
that's what you're paying for.
It's a serious piece of hair is what you're effectively purchasing, a serious piece of hair.
Is it insured?
Anyway, we'll see. If Strutty was in Turkey, so be it. If not, he's in Edmonton, and he can speak to the scene out there because it just got uglier last night. That's all that happened. It just was another log on the fire, and this is a blaze that's out of control.
You called it yesterday.
Bobrovsky was unbelievable in the first, right? Yeah. We said that, and I said, watch Bob have himself a night. I thought he didn't have to do much in the third. That's the issue that I had with the game last night. We were texting back and forth.
Yeah.
Is the Oilers came out with determination in the first. They were flying. They had a ton of opportunities. McDavid had that half break where he almost beat him. And right at the end of the period, a great tic-tac-toe to Puljujarvi, and Bob makes a big stop. But I thought their effort in the third period was pathetic. I thought it was awful. Barkov made it 3-0, they said, we're done.
That was complete
white flag. That's a bad look for a team. It's desperate right now. Bad look.
That was, like, if you look back on it, there were so many things to unpack, and we're going to talk about it all day. But, like, if they would have lost 2-0, 3-0, like, you know, and had a pretty good effort, I think, and I know you say this, like, moral victories. Like, Florida's one of the hottest teams in the NHL, if not the hottest.
Right.
I think Colorado has points.
They're a really good team.
Yeah, Colorado has points in 11 games. But, like, you know, Florida's right there, top of the league. So you're going, okay, like, we knew we were in one against Florida anyways, but, like, let's put up a fight. Let's see. But it was the minute that the game was done, that 3-0 goal was a dagger. It was like, load up the bus. Like, warm up the bus.
No
check,
pushback.
Please. And
no
then Florida
anything.
Was like, all right, you want to give us some free goals, like some free looks, some penalties? Like, yeah, we'll take you to the woodshed.
Well,
like,
you saw last night, Noodles. You of all people saw it. By the way, not too many goaltenders. I think Jonathan Quick, Marc-Andre Fleury. Not too many guys could you say play with some flair. Bobrovsky has some flair. I love the way he kind of crouches around. He's got these cool movements. He was dialed in, and that's the difference.
Wow. Yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, you're right.
That first period, he was so good, and then all of a sudden it goes the other way, and Barkov rips it like that, and then it goes in the net. It's like, what the hell kind of chance we have? But there's a lot bigger issues, because I was watching and watching after the first period. I shut it off after the second. And I couldn't believe when I woke up and it was 6-0. But there was periods after the onslaught in the first period, guys, where I'm like, why am I being so harsh and critical? Maybe they're just not that good.
Well, look at the split. Joe from the Bridge is in the matrix right now. Yeah, he's loving it because he's in Toronto and the Oilers are an easy team to, because he wants McDavid here by the end of the month. You know, that's what Joe from the Bridge is thinking. But you look at, these are just straight facts, man. These are stats that are up on TSN 4. If you're listening right now, as of December 2nd, I believe the Oilers
have.
Oh,
there you have it. It's all right there.
It's all up there right there. The Oilers were first, like, across the board in almost everything. They were first in record, first in points percentage, top five in goals against per game, maybe top two or three in goals differential. Just across the board, their penalty kill was great. Their power play was outstanding. And now they're basically dead last in everything. I mean, they're worse than Arizona, Montreal, the Kraken. They're worse than all of them.
That's
for
the
a month
thing,
and a
though.
Half.
You're
awful.
Right. They're first in the league for the first 6 weeks, last in the league for the next 6 weeks. Like,
and now they're out.
They got to figure out what they are. And they got to figure out it in a hurry because it's now teams are smelling blood. Like, you think it's going to – you don't think the Battle of Alberta's
worst
ready?
Team
like
you could play, in my opinion, is Calgary. Yeah. Worst team you could play.
Well, you know Daryl Sutter's going to have
– of
he's
course.
He's going to be chewing nails.
It's
chewing
Saturday
nails
night
tomorrow
Battle
morning.
Of Alberta, where it's even more emotional for people in Edmonton. And, you know, yeah. I think there's not a coaching change. I don't think a coaching change is going to do anything. I think that this is a classic example of, I guess we have to do something. And I can't necessarily argue with that. But the goaltending is terrible. Koskinen was not good again last night. But they didn't score any goals.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I didn't think McDavid had a night at all. And I thought in the third period he was terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
And like, the spotlight's on him. He's losing grip with that team, the season, the Hart Trophy, the Art Ross. Like, I know those are individual awards that he probably doesn't care about right now. But look at how much things have changed over the course of a month and a half. A month and a half ago, we were talking like McDavid's a lock for 140 points, Draisaitl 125. These guys may not win the Art Ross. And,
right.
You know, if the team misses the playoffs, there's no chance they're going to be up for the Hart. This is quickly developing into a disaster out there. and it's quite the scene right now.
I've been thinking about this, and you know, we were kind of unpacking it this morning, kind of going back and forth. Like, there's a lot of different things to look at. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl are far down on the list of, you know, issues there. Because if you can't get a save, there's nothing you can do. But that being said, and oh, you can weigh in, Hayes, you can weigh in too. Top players always find a way. Like, when things are going great, I thought Darnell Nurse had one great comment last night. He goes, it's easy to be a leader when things are going well. But he goes, to be a leader when it's in the toilet, like, let's see what you got here. Now, in this last 15-game stretch, yes, we know what the save percentage is. I think it's like 85.6. And we saw the numbers. Joe from the Bridge put him up there. But, like, McDavid and Draisaitl, if they were just averaging those games of scoring goals, maybe there's a win. If you get 900 save percentage, maybe there's a win in there.
Pointless.
There's
McDavid, a lot of different things. No points in three games.
But that's the thing that when I look at it, I played with some great players. Chris Pronger, Jerome McGinley. You go right down the list of some of the guys that I was fortunate enough to play with. If I'm a guy in the dressing room, I'm looking for them to dig me out. The great players find a way.
I know, Noodles, but goaltending is such an important issue. You, of all people, know that more than anybody. And he can go out there and have the game of his life, but does he have to get 4 points to keep it out of his net to say, that's my contribution to get us out of this? It's almost impossible for anybody to do anything leadership-wise, skill-wise, or anything-wise when you know the puck's going down the ice and it's going in the back of your net. Crushes your team. Crushes everything about it.
I agree 100%. It's soul-crushing when you pour it on and one guy's standing on his head at the other end feeling really good and dialed in. And then, you know, as much as it was a beautiful pass by Reinhardt, it's a soft feather over. The goaltender gets across and it hits the back of his glove and goes in short side. Like, I know it's a power play goal, but like, you're just needing saves at the right time. And to me, I thought Draisaitl was noticeable all night. Yeah, he had a couple miscues that cost chances or goals against. But he was, you know, he came to play last night. I thought McDavid got worse as the game went on instead of better. And again,
I totally agree.
That's the they are.
It's way further
the
down
list.
The line, but when you lose like this, what are they? 10? They're 2-11-2 in the last 15. Like, that's right. A large chunk of the season where that's horrendous. Like, they're batting 200 right now. They're creeping up on the Mendoza line in terms of what they're doing, wins and losses. What it does is it puts a spotlight on everything, and it's almost exclusively negative. And the one guy that I don't think gets brought up enough, and we probably don't bring him up enough, and I'm curious to see what Strutty has to say about this in 20 minutes, is the GM, Ken Holland. Ken Holland decided to ride with these two goalies again. He went back to the well with these two goalies. He re-signed Tyson Barrie after he had a quality platform year. Gave the same thing to Cassian. Remember, Cassian had that big year? All right, I guess we got to bring him back. They brought him back. Not much there at this point. Turris on waivers today. Ryan and Shore. Turris, Ryan, and Shore. Those were three of the depth guys. Go look at their stats, what they're bringing to the table. They've been awful. You know, I think Darnell Nurse, I love him. I love him as a player. I don't think the Morgan Riley contract helped Ken Holland, because Riley got 8 years at 7.5, and Nurse got 8 at, what, 9.25?
Yeah.
That all immediately looks like, uh-oh, you gave him $2 million too much. Duncan Keith, isn't this where Keith is supposed to be an impact for you? This is why he went out to get him, had to get the vet on the back end? Duncan Keith doesn't have it anymore to do it for you. Cody Ceci to a long-term deal. Like,
dude,
you just go down the list. You're
insanity.
Like, what is Ken Holland doing out there?
And now you're talking about something where, and this is from my dad, this isn't from me, and I've said this to you guys before, where it's not just goaltending and those signings you mentioned. It's like, there could be something seriously wrong. Like, somebody hates somebody. They're all pissed at the GM for, like, it's something deep rooted now where it's, you're looking at the guys' faces where it's like, and I know the losing's tough, but you're like, there is something wrong there. Like, a serious problem. McDavid's pissed at ownership, at management. I don't know, but that's seriously jacked up, man. How else do you describe it? It's a mess.
It is. They're lucky they had the start they did. They're still in the race.
I know it's
petty. That's the amazing thing.
But didn't you want to hear from McDavid last night?
I was about to say that, Noodles. I'm like, you know, that was a classic PR move where they said we're not bringing him out.
But
you know, we're not going to bring them out because we know what's coming.
Well, again, I hate to do this. I hate to do this, but let's look at this market. If the house is on fire in this market.
It happened here. Dion was here, and Dion didn't come out, and people went crazy that he didn't
I remember that night because it wasn't it against St. Louis. He was dash three, and he got into it with Backes, and he didn't come out. And then they realized, hey, we should have put him out, and he did the rounds. He came on with us the next day. He was on with the other guys, and, like, they realized.
I think that's on McDavid as much as it's on the PR guy. Like, I think that's on him to say, I got to go out. You know, like, he knows he's not going out for a reason. He knows it wasn't a coincidence. Oh, it was my time to take the night off. Like, he knew, and they knew, and it was like, I'm not facing it.
Other than, unless he said, I'm too upset and I might say something, that'll start a fire here. Like, you know, sometimes guys need to be, they need to have a breather after the game. And the rules are like, hey, you got to be there within, what, 10 minutes, and you got to, you know, and things are going south. Like, I get it, but I just... Sometimes, having been what I was as a player, I always looked like I, you know, my gold standard was Jerome McGinley. Like, how Mark Giordano in the room. Like, what are those guys doing when, not when things are great, what are they doing when things are south? And how are we going to dig out of it as a group? And, you know, Iggy, again, would be like, shine a light on me because I got this, boys. We're going to be fine here. And I think. That's, I know, fair or unfair, McDavid and Draisaitl are the guys who are going to dig them out. Yes, goaltending has to factor in.
Yeah, but in terms of being the faces of it, the primary pieces of that team, the guys with the most security, the guys with the most at stake.
They're the best players in the league. Draisaitl's right there. I mean, McDavid is the best player in the league, and Draisaitl is, you know,
He's won a heart already in his career. Well, we'll see what Strutty says in about 15. Speaking of, you know, saying things in the media, Sheldon Keefe addressed the media today after practice, and before he took any questions, he said, I got to clarify some things. You know, he said, about the whole soft comment, I want it to be known, and we're waiting for the audio to come in because it just happened over Zoom recently. But, you know, he said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but I still have all the faith in the world in this team. You know, and we didn't play to our standards, and I wouldn't say anything to the media that I didn't first say to the team, which that's the case. Morgan Riley came out and said, yeah, he's right. You know, that we kind of saw it the same way. We didn't play well enough in our own end and around our own net.
That's where I don't mind the comments from the coach, Hayes, because maybe it's just that midseason wake-up call where it's not the end of the world, it's not Edmonton right now, but things are getting a little bit out of reach, and he wants to correct it and get back to a winning formula. And it kind of gives everybody a wake-up call where it's like, he called us out, let's kind of stop the forest fire right now and not let it spread, and let's get on top of things and have a performance here. We might not win Saturday night, but let's have our team game, our overall performance to be dialed in. So then we're covering our asses.
I'm sure what you want, I think, as a coach, if you could pick situations, which you can't in sports. You obviously don't know how the game's going to play out, and you can't control what the other guys are going to do. But hand the Leafs a 2-0 lead 10 minutes in and see what they got, right? Like, because it's going to happen again in the next 4 or 5 games. They're going to have a lead.
Yeah.
What do you have?
So that's when your all eyes are on.
My eyes are on that. Yeah, and I think I can speak for Sheldon Keefe. He might not say it publicly, but that's the – like, you talk about a theme the last week and a half. It's that they've had really good starts, and they've allowed it to get away from them. And the Islanders are a lesser team than the teams they've been doing it to. The Islanders don't stack up equally to the Rangers, Vegas, St. Louis, or Colorado. But I am curious to see the reaction from the team tomorrow night. They're not going to get any reprieve on the back end. Muzzin's not going to be there. Hall's not going to play tomorrow night. They're going to make an adjustment. Biega's coming out. Dahlstrom's going to make his debut. But inexperience on the back end. Sandin and Liljegren will be the second pair again, so we'll see what they have in store. And those kids, you know, they're young guys who have been built up throughout the organization. They deserve another crack at it tomorrow night, right? Okay, you had a tough night. Let's see what you got. That's the NHL. It's pro sports. You're going to need them at some point.
Bounce back,
Yeah, for sure. And Mrazek goes tomorrow, which I think is appropriate. Like, you got to start. I think you got to give Campbell a little breather, right?
I like it.
Yeah, put Mrazek in tomorrow night.
Well, you know, he's already played career high in games. Like, we're still got half a season left.
Right.
Like, and because it's been spaced out, you're fine with it. But I think it's a smart play. You want to get Mrazek into a groove and also get that proper rest for Jack so that he's feeling good about his game. Yeah, there's been more goals lately, obviously, but it's I think everyone has full faith in him. It's just a nice little breather physically and mentally because it does wear on you to play.
And it's his first time, Noodles. It's his first time being a starter. So for all the heroes at the beginning of the year when he was starting off hot and he had two good months that were like, give him six times six, it's like, don't we want to let the year play out here and see how this guy gets through a full 82 games? The guy's going to the All-Star game. He might win the Vezina, but let's see how 82 plays out. He's one contract. I'm not doing anything until the season's over, and I'm going to see what happens here.
That's scar tissue, though, I think, from, you know, other guys leaving, right? Other guys like Hyman. The year before, you probably could have locked him in. You said, oh, let's see what he's got for another full year. He pots 20 or whatever it was, and he leaves at 7 for 5.5 or whatever it was.
Go ahead, leave.
But I guess my thing is,
and you want Edmonton 2.0? Like, I understand why people are nervous about the future of Jack Campbell. I'm not jumping to a contract either. I don't know if he can do anything between now and the end of the year that's going to lead to, you know, 6 by 6.5 or 7 by 7 or anything like that. But you got to be careful with that position. We've been talking about a team all week. Yeah. You lose out on that goalie, man, you're in big, big trouble.
I think, though, right now, O makes sense because you're paying him regardless. Like, he's not getting just a bump on his pay. He's going to get a handsome raise. What that is, let
the chips
fall. Could
you see them walking? Could you see a scenario where by the end of the year they say, actually, this isn't our guy?
Yeah, if he wants 8 times 5.
I'm talking about based on his play, his approach.
Well, Hayes, if they get into the playoffs and they get beat in the first round, why is he mandatory to keep?
Well,
I mean, Carolina had a great team last year, one of the best teams in the league. They walked away from both.
Right.
And said, we're just starting fresh. We'll kind of move the deck chairs around and see what's there. Right. There's always goaltending options at the end of the year in the summertime. Always. Are they always great?
Say,
no.
What I would say is it's unfair just to him to look at for Jack Campbell to go, all right, well, if you don't have success in the playoffs, we don't sign you. I think the marketplace is there for him. I think if he decides to take it to the market himself, his services, there, you know, he's going to get a raise. But he also has to look at situations. Ask Philip Grubauer how he's feeling. Every 2 weeks, it's great because the check is big. You know, save percentage, wins and all that. Maybe, you know, I always talk about grass greener, right, like Seattle or Colorado. Like Darcy Kemper, they paid a king's ransom to get him in there. Man, this guy gets goal support every night. Like, he's, you know, Kemper played great last night. But, like, you know, I think he's in a better situation. So Jack Campbell knows this situation as opposed to L.A. or, you know, he started in Dallas. Like, that's the other thing. You can go get paid. No guarantee that you are going to, you know, go to a team that is on a rocket ship
no,
to
of course.
The playoffs.
And,
right?
And maybe there probably are two extremes to the answer. You know, if he just completely melts in the second half and by the playoff time you're feeling like this guy's leaking oil, then it's a mess, then you right. obviously would have a different evaluation of him. And the opposite is true. The guy just keeps rolling, wins a Vezina, takes him to a cup final. Guess what? What you thought was going to be a four-year deal at 4.5, it's not anymore. You know, right. like that's just the way business works. But it's more than likely going to be something in the middle. And if that's the case already today, then maybe the Leafs are comfortable with it still being there come July, you know, right. and maybe he knows that as well. Maybe that comfort level goes on, you know, is a two-way street. So we'll see. Mrazek in net tomorrow for the Leafs. Chris Rose will join us just after 5 o'clock. We'll look ahead to the divisional round in the NFL with him. Al's brother and Team Al Dog coming up. The grappler with his hat, shaking the hat, making the picks. The games are in. We'll tell you who got who and why I'm not overly ecstatic about my draw 2 weeks in a row. And Derrick Henry has been activated off the IR. He's playing. So Derrick Henry is back, and he's in the backfield for Tennessee. He'll be out there tomorrow afternoon. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. And the Raptors are in Washington tonight, taking on the Wizards. So we'll get to that, too. Overdrive continues on a Friday. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, our boy Jason Strudwick will join us here in a moment. We're tracking the injury news and notes out of the NFL. I just saw that Nick Bosa has officially cleared concussion protocol, so he'll be in Green Bay. He'll be there. He's playing. And Derrick Henry activated off the IR. So The big man's returning for Tennessee, and our big man, Al's brother, is ready to rumble. You guys, Team Al Dog, 4-2 last week, and
nice.
Got four big games this week. Yeah, so we're back.
I hate to say it, but if you don't have a good week, you're in trouble.
I am in trouble. For the playoff bracket, I'm in big trouble. I need wins here. I can't even really afford to go 500 because if I do, I got to run the table after that. You know, we're getting real close to the NFL season coming to an end. It's depressing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a reality. We're tracking the golf tournament. My main man, Patrick Cantlay, is having
Dude,
himself.
Dude, the one time, it was a flip-flop. He's usually my guy.
Yep.
And I
Rom
took Rom.
Is my guy.
I know. A flip-flop?
Absolutely not.
No. We, by the end of this show, we look at the score and we arrange a possible flip.
You want to negotiate or what?
Well, Cantlay's he's got a two-shot lead already. All this guy does is break 70. He shoots in the 60s every round he plays
he's
on
a
tour.
Machine. He's a machine.
He is a machine. He'll have his baby blue pants on tomorrow, the strutty. I'm sure Strutty's got a pair of baby blue.
I bet you when he golfs, he just wears absolute newt-hugging tight slacks.
Yeah, you got to be in the mood, man. You got to look good to play good. Here's our main man, Jason Strudwick, out there in Edmonton. Confirm or deny that, Strutty. What's the gear like when you tee it up?
Shorts. I that's all I can play in, shorts. Very muscular legs. I like to show them off. I think it intimidates the people I'm playing against.
Okay.
Strutty, let me just ask this, and I don't want to talk about, but have you ever got a couple looks from the, you know, you circle nine, you grab a beer, do the shorts get a couple extra looks from different people?
Only if they're jean shorts.
I've seen Strutty in jean shorts. He cuts them himself, so he's got the little fibers hanging off of them. They're not a clean cut.
Yeah, that's vintage.
So, Strutty, when you wear the tight shorts, you don't notice the cart girl or the beverage cart lady like circling like a shark, or it's not an issue.
No, it's not the same as when I'm at Costco, right? Picking up some 2% milk and 24 bagels and muffins.
I love that, the 24 bagels. How often do you walk by there? You're like, hey, they're only $6.99. It's like, hey, there's 24 of them. What are you going to do with all those bagels?
Yeah, I buy them by the dozen. How many dozen do we need?
I
just consume those chocolate chip. I don't like the poppy seed, but the chocolate chip, those are the sticks I crush.
They're phenomenal. Yeah, they do good work down there. They do very good work. So, Strutty, are you pulling out the draft simulator in Edmonton, or what's going on?
Oh, that's a stinger. That's a stinger. No, you know what? It is really tough. Like, it's funny. Like, I wish we could talk about, like, a team recovering that just got pushed out of the game the other night in New York. Instead, I got to talk about a situation here.
The soft team in Toronto, that's who you prefer to talk about?
No, I don't know. Okay. Did they play the Rangers? Yeah, that was a great game. It was a good game, actually.
The
Oilers, you try to sit back. It's very emotional, right? You're as the fans. I've got friends texting me in tears, tear emojis, all that. So you try to stand back and, like, the start they had was amazing. And then you look what they've done the last, 6-7 weeks. It's just been, they're not that bad a team. They probably weren't that good of a team. So somewhere in between there lies the truth of where this team's at. And, you get into a position. I've been on, unfortunately, I've played on some bad teams where I was playing really well, but the team was struggling. And it's so hard to create, that positive energy to get out of it. And I thought last night they came out and played hard. They played, they were missing a couple of good forwards, but they came out, they carried the play in the first period, Florida. Their goaltending was fantastic, but Florida kind of just, they hung around. They hung around. They didn't get those two goals in the second, and by the time that third goal goes down, the Oilers just threw in the towel, and they were done. And, that's what happens when you feel just really badly about yourself, about your game, and, you say all the right things. You have to try to pick up my partner, my line mates, but you just internally just withdraw internally, and then you shut down. The next guy shut down. Everyone shuts down, and that's what happens. So, they got to find a way to sustain good play for a whole game. And a win would do marvels for this team. Unfortunately, two-third period implosions. We were at today, we're just asking questions, and every goalie under the sun is an option right now for the Oilers fans that want to see some kind of a change. They want a change at some level.
Is it simple as that, Strutty? They just need a new goaltender, because we were trying to break it down, and it's like, now what's wrong with McDavid and Draisaitl? They slowed down. It's like some of the signings. Your boy Turris is now on waivers. It's like, is it simply the goaltending that needs to be addressed here and kind of everything else will settle into place? Or is there just a multitude of different issues?
Yeah, I don't like just, you know, put it all on the goalie. You know, I are there a couple goals last night that were, you know, do you like to have back? Yeah, there are. But they didn't score any goals either. You know, and I look at Leon Draisaitl. I mean, he was shooting a ton last night. You know, some hit the net, some were saved, whatever. But, you know, early in the year, those are going in. They're not going in for him now. So why is that? Just slightly off, gripping the stick a little too much. And then the rest of the team, I mean, there's not a lot of offense being finished. And I think what one of the problems is, you know, you go back and watch that first period, and they had, you know, quite a few shots, but where are the second chances? You know, watch a lot of the games, the highlights, whatever you want to watch. You know, often goals are off, you know, rebounds. And then, you know, a missed play, or even think about Reeves' goal against the Leafs the other night. You know, goes, it rides up the goalies or the D-man stick into the net. Like, you've got to get around the net. You know, getting shots is good, but you've got to get those second chance and rebound chances. And that's kind of those, what do they call that, inner slot shots and rebound chances. You've got to get inside there. And I think that they're not there. Now, there are some players who are out there that would help with that, but still, you know, when you are a guy that, like Puljujärvi, there's a sequence where I think it was McDavid went up the ice with it and just slid it back in front of him. He tapped it in, and he kind of just drifted by the net. Then he was hit out of the way, but he didn't stand in there and bury that. Like, that's free. You have a two-foot putt, you got to make that. And you got to hang in there and make it happen. Duclair did it against Oilers later in the game. So that's to me, that's the difference. And that's, there's a confidence. So I mean, I didn't score a lot of goals, but I'm guessing it's confidence, a bit of determination. So yes, you know, goalie is part of it. But, you know, when a goalie, I think, is thinking they have to be perfect to win a game, and, you know, they're not feeling great about their own game, it makes it pretty hard for both sides of the coin to kind of, you know, find their way out of this.
Strutty, I mean, you're right. When the house is on fire, everything's under a microscope. You know, is it very concerning as far as the, you mentioned, throwing in the towel, you know, in the third period, the last couple of games? You're up 3-1 against Ottawa. If you win that game, maybe you're feeling a lot better about yourself going against a top-tier team like Florida. You end up, you know, crapping the bed on that one, and then you're going up against an angry Florida that played, you know, that had a tough night against Calgary two nights previous. They hung in there, but then the minute the third goal goes in, you mention that it's like they're done. Okay, well, that's the embarrassing part, is now it's 6-0. They lose 2-0 last night. You can go, hey, you know, there's something to hang your hat on. What are you hanging your hat on in these last two performances that are going to convince you they can get out?
Well, and that's the hard part, you know, and a lot of people, you know, that I talked about, they want to see change. So it's a goalie, or for the most part, a lot of people like to see a coaching change. And, you know, when I watched those last two games, I think that the way you start games, you know, it tells you if you're into a coach or not. And they've come out and played hard to start with, specifically last night's game. They really came out and they played a good first period. So that tells me that they haven't given up on their coach yet. And people that want a coaching change, it's a difficult time of the year. You know, the one option is bringing up your AHL coach, but that coach, Woodcroft, has done a great job down there creating NHL players, something that the Oilers have needed for a number of years. He's there. He's doing a great job along with his assistant coaches. So if you bring him up and you decide he's not your guy, now you got to fill two spots in the summer. If you choose to make the change now and you don't want to be one of your assistant coaches, you've got to now go out and choose from the available group of coaches. It's a pretty small group of coaches. So, again, are you making the best decision long-term? Is someone going to say, I'll take a 3 or 4 month contract? I haven't heard of that happening a lot, but I suppose anything's possible. So, you know, I don't think they've quit on their coach. I think that, you know, the players are saying the right thing. We got to figure it out internally. But you've got to find some positivity somewhere. Like, someone's got to, you know, light that first little nugget of a candle to get things going, because right now it's just complete darkness. And it's hard, because when you're losing, you go home, you think about it, consumes you, get to the rink, you feel the negativity, but you've got to break out of that somehow. And you know, tomorrow is the Calgary Flames, a team who hasn't been lighting it up recently either. You know, I think the best way is the emotional connection, and we don't see enough of that from the Oilers. You know, when's the last time you've seen a scrum in front of the net or a cheap shot, you know, to the back of someone, like when they're going up the ice, like just anything to try to just manufacture anything to get yourself going, or even, you know, pull the RV running someone over. Like it just hasn't been enough, and it's so difficult to turn it around. But no, I don't know where the solution is. You know, you can fire the coach, okay, but they still got these situations. You want to get a new goalie, okay, but you still got to score some goals. Like, it, as you said, there's a lot of different areas that need to be worked on, but I do believe, I really believe in this idea of energy and creating within yourself and for the team. And right now, it's just not there, at least not for sustained periods like we saw last night in the third.
With our buddy Jason Strudwick out in Edmonton, the Leafs are, they're doing the Strudy alumni tour. They're at the Garden the other night. They're in Long Island tomorrow, Strudy. And obviously, I'm sure you heard Sheldon Keefe's commentary after the game the other night. Said they look soft and purposeless. Now, he came out today and he said, I wouldn't say anything to you publicly that I didn't say to the team. How does that go over? As you know, if you put yourself back in the room, you hear your coach say that. And, you know, that's harsh criticism, especially considering the reputation that the Leafs hold. Is it all good if he addressed the team beforehand and basically said, hey, you guys look soft and purposeless in the room before he addressed it to the media?
Well, you know, whether he says it in the media or he says it to you personally in the dressing room, I believe he's challenging the group. You know, I would have personally taken that very, very in an insulting way, because, you know, to be challenged as soft in the game of hockey is not something that is really nice. There hasn't been a lot of really good soft hockey players that people talk about for decades, you know, and that are legends. So I take it very personally. I think that it's a conversation you have within your dressing room. And I watched the game. I mean, I kid a bit about getting pushed out of the game, but I did think the Rangers took that game over, you know, and kind of had their way a little bit with the Leafs and to make it happen, play the game they want to play. So the Leafs, it's not like they're small, and it's not like they can't play back. And it's not 20 years ago where you have to go in there and, you know, wonder if you're going to come out alive. But it's a determined way of playing the game and being, you know, smart with the puck and just being in a lot of different ways, harder to play against, you know, with and without the puck. And, you know, the goal I think about was Fox's back door tapping.
Right.
You know, the puck is coming and you're on your backhand. You throw a soft puck up the middle when the Rangers have four guys above you. So they have two forwards and two D above the blue line or just inside the blue line. The puck's turned over quickly to Panarin, down to Stroman, in the net, Fox, before the guys even know what's happened. Like, to me, that's fast, hard hockey. I like that. And I think that is a way you can play, you know, not play soft. And that was a soft play in a key moment of the game. I think it was 3-2, if I remember, near the end of the second. So that's a soft play. So I would take it as a challenge. You know, if your feelings are hurt from someone calling you soft in a game of hockey, I think you're probably in the wrong business, because it is, you can change that. It's not like it was. You can change that conversation. And I look at it as an opportunity for the Leafs tonight or when they play next in Long Island to push back and Show what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We'll see. It's going to be a fun one tomorrow night, the Battle of Alberta. The whole country's watching, Strudy. You know that. You guys in Edmonton and in Calgary. Listen, you know who's the happiest team in the country right now is Winnipeg. They're like, just go look over there. Everyone just go focus on that, you know, dumpster fire the couple provinces over, because it's not like Winnipeg's rolling right now either.
No, it's a tough time. You know what? But it'll be interesting. What I can say, you know, people keep saying something's got to give. But, you know, what a story if they can turn around inside internally. But it's going to take a lot of energy to turn that around, because right now it's not there.
Absolutely.
You mentioned something's got to give, Strudy. Would that ever prompt you, if something gave too much, to book a ticket to Turkey?
Like, he woke up and your hair was on your pillow. Like, would you just book a
like the whole thing just lied on the pillow. Would you just get on the internet and book a flight to Turkey?
Well, by then it might be too late, too little, too late. But I've had a lot of friends of mine talking about going to get hair restoration. And I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, some of them look pretty good, but some guys are like, I did it already. I'm like, you did it already. Looks like you need it done again.
That's got to be concerning. You dump a bunch of money, a trip to Istanbul.
Oh, and
back.
You said you went to Istanbul, you got a new salad, and the guy's like, your salad's garbage. You need
awful.
A new one?
Yeah, butchering. Yeah, butchering.
Too
that's
thin.
Not good.
Too thin.
That's a gamble. It's a big gamble. All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do
Talk
it again
you
guys soon.
Have a good weekend.
There's our buddy Jason Strudwick from Edmonton. I think painting the scene appropriately out there. And Strudy, you know, he's got a pulse on what's up in Edmonton. And well, Battle of Alberta tomorrow. We'll
find out. He's the Brian Hayes of of man Edmonton. Of the people. He's got man of the people.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jason.
Voice of reason. And, yeah, he's you imagine if you woke up and you had just your bacon strips just laying on your pillow. What do you
whole
do?
New world. So I guess, I don't know, Istanbul? I don't know.
Honestly, that's me. It's going to be me, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to grow old. I don't want to say gracefully. It'll get ugly, but
no,
there's nothing you can do.
Everyone's facing that same reality. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Yeah,
if
we gotta
you're
talk.
The guy with the total ball down the middle and the you got to –
the balls of going, the like the toilet bowl.
But
like,
the problem is that you don't know how you're going to look bald. Like that picture got posted of the mashup between me and Naylor. I am not a good-looking bald man.
You would have to go to Turkey.
I'd have to.
You're going to have a full head of hair, though. Like, you're going to have a silver. When you're 75, you are going to have a full head of hair, but it'll just be silver or
the
white.
Silver fox.
Yeah, you'll be the silver fox. And you'll have a mustache for some reason. I really feel like you're
going to. I could do that, actually. I think if it's silver, I think I could pull it off. Because it's got the different tinted stash, the hair. Gets confusing and kind of, I think, a little bit off-putting at times. So, yeah, if I go Silver Fox, I'll do that. I'll grow out a stash and still probably be yelling about the Leafs.
O's going to have a full head of hair. I'm going to have the monkey – or not – what's it called? The toilet bowl. Yeah, the monkey bump, but the toilet bowl. That's what I'm going to have. Like, I'm going to have the bozo clown on the side.
That's fine.
And the skull.
But you can't grow the sides long. It's just tough.
No.
It's fine.
It's just fine. It's fair.
You've got support on this show. You know that.
Exactly.
All right. Our buddy Chris Rose will join us in about 20 minutes. Al's brother he's gathering tremendous information as we speak. He's ready to go. The four games have been picked. We'll tell you who's on which game, and we'll get to those picks a little bit later this afternoon. Anson Carter on the show. We got Anson coming up just after 6 o'clock. We look forward to that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we got some Charles Barkley audio. We'll play a little bit later this afternoon. He's not that happy or impressed with the Lakers.
Dude, Kara showed him last night cleaning his glasses.
He liked licking the lenses.
Licking the lenses, just repulsive. You got to try to find that. We got to have it.
I saw it. I've never seen anyone do that. But it makes me, like, I don't wear glasses, so I kind of was thinking this isn't my expertise. Is that something that people do?
Usually people just go like, that, and then they wipe it down. But as
Kara
mentioned last night, that was gross before COVID. That's super gross now.
But it's not like COVID's going to be on the guy's glasses. Like, what
is
COVID?
It's just a weird look when you look at a guy licking his glasses, okay?
I'll give you that. I'm not COVID or otherwise. I'm not denying how strange it is.
It was weird. But he just loves to take L.A. to the woodshed.
Oh, man. Should we play it?
Street clothes? Yeah, we got to
get it. He calls Anthony Davis street clothes, which is, I think, is moment to
you
shine.
You want to talk about indictment. Like, that is one of the worst indictments you could ever have.
Right. And street clothes is not playing because he's in street clothes, right? And Russell Westbrook is now he's the whipping boy. Frank Vogel, the head coach, and Westbrook. And now Westbrook, they're saying, might have to come off the bench, and he got benched the other night in a loss. Westbrook's the guy, and it hasn't worked out well. It's been a mess. That roster construction is not in a good spot. But here's the first clip where he was frothing at the mouth and Barkley not overly impressed by what's going on in L.A.
I just want to say, because I don't care who wins. I mean, I just want the season to be over so we can go play golf and fish.
All right, let's.
But the Lakers are such wussies. And I only say wussies because I can't say the word I want to say.
No, I know.
The way they have trying to throw Russell Westbrook and Frank Vogel under the bus is just really pissing me off. Right. And I got to tell you something.
Oh, no. Hey, you know, we've got a guest standing by.
Lakers still suck when we get back from his interview.
Okay.
I love that. And I love that Shaq's on the panel. Shaq is, you know, one of the great Lakers of all time. And he's, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
You know, they don't, I wouldn't say they suck. That's like Detroit sucks. You know, Orlando sucks. Houston sucks. But yeah, they're in a bad spot. And he went on afterwards. We'll play that clip in the next hour.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
But I know where Ernie's coming from, too, man. You got a guest on hold? Well, usually it's the opposite. It's me yelling and screaming, and you two are like, hey, there's a guest. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, stop.
It.
So, Anyway, we'll get to that into the next hour. Chris Rose will help us set up the set the scene for the divisional round, the four games going in the NFL. We'll hear from Al's brother, Team Al Dog. We'll have their picks. I'll have a couple of picks as well. The Raptors are in Washington tonight. We'll tee that up, and the Leafs are on Long Island tomorrow. So we'll look ahead to that game. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.